Happy joy.
Welcome to the Pinstrip LA podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns here with Matt Ferencik and Matt Provenzano. And, we're not really happy with how the Yankees have been playing since they think they might have only won one or two games since the last time we recorded. And they're on a five-game losing streak.
Boo.
Yes.
Accurate. Yeah.
And the only game, I think the only game they won was started by Vidal Nuno, but not today. Today,
yes.
Wednesday, of course.
That's correct.
Baseball's weird.
Yep. The offense has just decided that they don't want to show up anymore, which is really unfortunate.
Yep. And even when the offense does decide to show up, that's when the pitching decides not to show up, so...
Right, right. Like, the one game that scored five, but like, elation.
They scored five against the Red Sox on the Sunday and lost 8-5. They scored six against the Blue Jays last Tuesday, lost 7-6. So, yeah. They've now lost, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... Of their last 10, they've lost 8.
The last 11, they've lost 9, I know. And they're now under 500. So, congratulations, guys.
But yep. they've only lost maybe two games in the A. They're only 4.5 out.
Yeah.
That's... Even after being below 500.
Yeah, that's sad.
So, yeah. If it wasn't for the AL East being so horrible, they'd be out of it, but...
Yeah, that's the only thing keeping them in, and Tanaka pitched well on Saturday, but got only one run of support, so he lost on a mistake to Mike Napoli, and then Kuroda pitched beautifully. He also got no run support because, you know, Kuroda never gets run support. And, How did Phelps? Phelps was okay, I guess, but...
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, he was okay. I think it was like 6 innings, 3 runs or something like that.
Yeah, with a better offense, he probably could have gotten the win, but, you know.
He just didn't have the will.
Yeah, he didn't will his team to score runs by cheering for them.
Well, I mean, they kind of have to pick it up soon, because I think them stumbling and losing, you know, if they go 5-5 or 4-6 in a 10-game stretch, that's not going to kill them. But if you're going 2-9 in 11-game stretches, you're going to be out of it in a pretty brief period of time. Even in a bad AL East, I mean, they're 4.5 out. But if they pull a Red Sox and lose quite a few games in a row, they're pretty much out of it.
Yeah, I'm losing 2 of 11 is basically the equivalent of a 9-game losing streak. So,
yeah.
Yep.
It's very similar to what the Red Sox did, so... Mm-hmm.
And they're fortunate that their record is as good as it is, because their run differential's terrible, and it's roughly the same, I think, as the Red Sox and Rays, and they're several games behind them, so...
But I think there are a couple of things that the Red Sox don't have. One of them is the fact that injuries will eventually come back. Pineda and Sabathia will eventually come back, hopefully... And I think the other thing is that the Yankees are expecting positive regression from a few people. You're expecting McCann to start hitting, and he kind of did today with that home run. So I think that there are some players that are kind of underperforming what you'd expect, and you'd expect that they kind of regress in a more positive direction, so that should help them. And I'm going to assume they're going to trade for somebody. So I think that there's help on the way.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, again, as you said, you don't expect some of these players to be slumping for that long. I think eventually Carlos Beltran will probably hit a little bit, too. I don't think it's necessarily a given that he's totally going to be shut down. So
I don't really include him just because he's dealing with an injury.
Yeah, he's
so
kind
that's
of a wild card.
Yeah, so whether he regresses positively is...
if he comes back
healthy... If he does come back healthy, you'd at least expect him to perform decently next year.
Right.
You know, so it's still an upgrade.
Anyway, Yankees offense has been doing nothing. The pitching has been mostly good, except for kind of whatever by Nuno today, but that's to be expected. And then offense is getting shut down by pretty much every pitcher you can imagine. And, I mean, they got swept at home by the Rays, so they ended a, you know, they had entered a homestand, and they had these games against the Red Sox and Rays. Both were struggling, and they did nothing with them. So,
yeah.
that means they're going to send them to go on the road to Minnesota, and hopefully they can have a good series there to make up for, but, you know, you just don't know what to expect from this team at all.
No, it's volatile. I mean, they could go and win 5 in a row, and then lose 4 in a row, and then win 3 in a row, and then lose 5 in a row, and there's just no consistent rhythm to their playing, because you don't know what to expect. Especially, I think what really hurts is that when you have Nuno on the staff, it's like every fifth day is like, oh, this is probably a loss.
Yeah.
And then when it's Corona, it's like, is this good Corona or bad Corona? And then with Phelps, it's like, is he going to be okay? And then Tanaka, it's kind of just like, all right, is the offense going to score 2 runs?
Yep.
So it's like a different bad question every single day.
Yeah, and, you know, when you have annoying things going on, like the one send from Rob Thompson that might have blown the game the other day.
Oh, man.
That didn't help. It's just, like, piling on. And
the Beltran one?
Yes.
There's like, no quick fix, either. I mean, because the people that they were supposed to be, like, you know, those who would jumpstart the offense, we mentioned before with McCann and Beltran, they're not doing anything, and Soriano looks like he needs to go out to the woodshed.
Bring him around back and put him down.
Yeah, it's sad. Because he's had such a fun career, but he's just not doing anything, and he looks just... he looks worse than Jeter, and Jeter is older than him.
Yeah, he just decided, let's take all the bad things about my career and let's just do that. Was.
And I think we've mentioned before, like, you know, he's an extremely one-dimensional hitter in that, like, you know, his one skill is occasionally I can get on a hot streak and hit a bunch of home runs. But it seems like now he's at the point where, like Raul Ibanez on the Angels this year, where once he lost that one skill, it's like, well, you don't really have a purpose.
Yep. And the Yankees are best cutting bait with him as soon as possible, really. I mean, how much longer do you, like, keep trotting him out there? Because you're not really paying him that much money. You don't have, I mean, it's regardless of how much you're paying him, it's a sunk cost. And they're only paying him, I believe, what is it, $3 million or something like that?
I think it was, like, $5 million or something. Yeah, it's not
million.
Much.
I mean, even so, you're already over the cap, so what does it matter? And at this point, why would you... He's producing negative value. He's bad defensively, striking out, handing home runs. Like, there's no reason to keep him on the roster.
And
you're better putting out Almonte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the thing, too, is that by having Soriano on the team struggling so much, then that means you have, just by default, you have to turn to Ichiro more, since at least Ichiro provides defensive value. But by using Ichiro, I mean, we saw in 2013, you saw what happened when Ichiro was just ran into the ground as a 40-year-old, and that's going to happen again with more exposure. And you need to try something else in right field that's not Ichiro, that's not Soriano, and Beltran can't play there right now, so turn to the minors or something.
Tanaka.
Yeah, Tanaka. Can he play right field? Better yet, Giancarlo
Stanton. Tanaka for everyday right fielder.
Can we get him?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get him?
Romine and Zealous Wheeler, make it happen.
Yes.
I think they should use Romine and Zealous Wheeler and trade them for Puig.
Ooh, I like that one. The one guy in the fan post that wants to trade for Matt Kemp.
Yep.
Because, you know, there aren't enough enormous contracts on this team.
I think the Yankees should trade for Carl Crawford. They should just take Crawford and Kemp. They should take the entire Red Sox piece of that contract. They should take Beckett, Gonzalez, Crawford.
And we talked about before how we were hoping that getting some injured players back, like Sabathia. He just finished his rehab start in Trenton, and it wasn't pretty, apparently. 3 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, 3 earned, 1 walk, and just 2 strikeouts.
Well, as long as he's healthy,
yeah.
I think that's really what matters. I think if he lets up 5, like 10 runs, and as long as he didn't feel any pain, I think he's just trying to get. I think he's just trying to get his work in, to be honest.
Probably, but it's you would like to see at least not 5 runs, maybe like 2.
I mean, it's not going to be like Chris Sale's restart.
Apparently, some of the people on Twitter who had seen him said that he didn't really look great out there either. So that doesn't help.
Well, I'm not expecting him anytime soon, and I'm expecting the Yankees to trade for a starting pitcher anyway, so...
Yeah, of course, right now it doesn't seem like the problem is pitching. It seems to be more like they need some guy up there to spark the offense, and I can't think of anyone except for maybe Rob Refsnyder.
Cough, cough.
Yeah, hashtag Refsnyder for NYY.
In case any of the Yankees front office is listening to this. Cough, 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 cough. Rob Refsnyder, cough, cough.
Yes. But...
Well, I think it's good. I think it's good to bring up Rob Refsnyder because there was actually an article written about him on Fangraphs today, and it was funny because that was the first article anyone's ever written about him on Fangraphs.
He's forced his way into the picture.
He's never been mentioned on Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus in any article ever, unless it's been like a chat. Of someone asking somebody about Rob Refsnyder and somebody condescendingly saying, forget him. But it's interesting to see a scouting perspective of him because we see how hard he's hitting. And I think it's pretty clear he's going to be an above average hitter at the major league level. But it's just a question of how bad his defense is. And I think that's the only thing that's really holding him from moving up.
Yeah. That seems-
I would assume. I think that whatever
at this
they
point,
feel.
Probably.
Whatever they feel that obstacle is, that's probably the obstacle holding him back. Is I'm sure his defense is not pretty, or else they would probably call him up.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe they do like Brian Roberts, evidently. So that doesn't help.
I don't know how.
It'd be nice if Refsnyder could play third base because Yenhervé Solarte is just crashing and burning. Like it's just ugly to watch, and it's very depressing.
It's pretty depressing because he was like. It wasn't like those first 2 months was just like weak contact and bloops. It was like hard, solid line drives for like 2 months.
And good play discipline, too.
Yeah,
excellent play discipline, too. So it's just like, all of a sudden he turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah, and now since like the middle of May, he's hitting in the 100s. And since the middle of June, he's hitting like 080 something or whatever.
Yep, it's bad. It's really bad.
So
single tier.
Yes, single tier. It was so fun watching him, but now we're at the point where like half of his season is a struggle. So I think you just have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to cut him at all. Just send him back down to AAA because I think there's still potential there, possibly, and just try someone else like a Scott Sizemore or Zelis Wheeler.
Yep.
Or I know people have been talking about Perella too, and I think he's interesting, but I don't think he's like viable.
Yeah, I don't.
I think he's like okay. I think he's like a Solarte type. I mean, he's like 25 also.
I think but he's not an answer for third base necessarily, but I would definitely try to give him a shot in right field at this point cuz might as well.
It's possible.
I'd give him a shot over Zoilo in right field anyway cuz Zoilo doesn't really inspire me.
At this point, I think it is just try Perella, because what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. Worst that could happen is he pulls what Solarte is doing now, and then you just say, well, whatever, that didn't work, and you cut him or send him back down. So.
Yeah, I think that a valid criticism of the front office as it stands is that there's not enough, they spend too much time with one decision, and instead of just being like, all right, we're done, we're cutting them, it's like we're going to sit on this decision for. I mean, think about Vernon Wells, like how long it took them to cut bait with Vernon Wells. I mean, he was bad for such a long time, and they just kept trotting him out there. I mean, granted, they didn't have a different option, but I mean, Zolo Almonte wasn't that much worse, to be honest.
Right. Oh, and like the only times it seems like they have been, I don't want to say quick, but relatively quick to cut someone, where, you know, Ben Francisco was only on the team for 2 months, but, you know, that was like a backup outfielder / platoon DH, so, or it was easier for them to, like, say, oh, well, we're going to take our little bit of time with it, but we've seen enough of some of these guys, and it's just like, well, make a move.
Yeah, I mean, even if they bring up Refsner, it doesn't work. You could easily just put Brian Roberts back in. I mean, Brian Roberts isn't, like, the worst player in the world, but he's pretty bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's replacement level. So, I mean, in theory, if Ref Snyder has a better profile, shouldn't he be above replacement level?
Yep. That would be the goal.
I mean, I'm sure that the Yankees have some internal projection system to show what the adjustment between AAA and Major Leagues is. I mean, most teams do, that they adjust and see what this looks like on a Major League basis. Now, I know that the Baseball Prospectus does this, but they actually calculate WAR for minor league levels. And I actually found, interesting enough, what Ref Snyder's WAR was in the minors, and it was pretty impressive. Let me see if I can pull it up. In 60 games in Trenton this year, he put up 2.7 WAR.
That's like a replacement level for
that's
a Double A, I
pretty
guess.
Pretty good.
Yes, that's a replacement level for Double A.
Okay.
And for Triple A, he put up 1.2 WAR in 21 games.
That'll do.
And he was 14 runs above replacement level. Was it value over replacement? Yeah, value over replacement level was 14.1 over 21 games, which is crazy. And, like, that was even the case at the end of 2013, but that was over a longer stretch. He put up 2.7 WAR in high A over 117 games. So, like, he got fast in a hurry.
Yeah, so there's, like,
but, I mean, he's,
there's definitely hope there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's blowing away Double A and Triple A. Now, he's been blowing away the minors for a good, you know, year and a half.
Yeah, it's time to give him a new challenge.
Exactly.
Especially when the big league club is struggling so badly at the plate. And, you know, he's not going to be, like, the biggest move in the world. He's not a home run hitter, but he'll get his hits, he'll get on base, and he at least be something new to this team that could make a difference. And that doesn't have to be the only move you make, too. I mean, one of the rumors going around now is that the Yankees are interested in Chase Headley, which I guess, you know, that they've been connected, it seems like, for like 2 years. But now that Headley's stock has really fallen, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, it seems like it could actually happen.
John Heyman just tweeted that the Yankees are regularly scouting him, and that, I mean, that could mean nothing because they were regularly scouting David Price, but I mean, that's a really interesting idea by the Yankees, if they're considering it, because he's someone that isn't only, he has a half season left on his contract before he becomes a free agent. He's having a pretty horrible year, and he would be a really good buy loaded candidate because he has such a long track record of being pretty good. So if they expect they'll positively regress, they could buy low and eat the rest of his contract, maybe give a couple of okay prospects, and then, have a third baseman for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think the odds are that he'll do a much better job than what Solarte is doing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, even Headley at his worst, it's still better than Solarte at his worst.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's greatly underperformed. And while, yes, he's probably, I don't think he's as good a player as he was in 2012. But I think expecting the guy from 2013 or 2011 would be reasonable, because that's the player he's been throughout the course of his career. I don't think that's suddenly changed just because he turned 30.
Yeah, and I think
player has to, like, disappear that quickly.
Yeah, and I think that maybe I think people get thrown off by that 2012, but it's possible that just that's just not an accurate representation of his talent level.
Yeah, that was career year.
It was just a career year coincidence. He performed in the 90th percentile of his possible performance, given a baseline talent level. And I'd say that a 2 to 3 WAR player every year is like kind of what you're going to get.
Right.
And that's fine. And like there are certain certainties, like his defense is going to be good. It's something the Yankees could really use. Like his defense can be very good.
Right.
So I think I'm a big fan of doing the deal. I'm not necessarily a big fan of Headley himself, but I'm a big fan of that possible deal, depending on what the Yankees give up. Now,
I wouldn't want them to give up anything like too valuable.
Yeah.
Or anyone from the top 10 prospects, I wouldn't want to part with for Headley. But
yeah.
How would you feel about someone like Peter O'Brien?
I think I'd do it. I'm not.
I probably would.
I'm not. I do like O'Brien's power, but I just don't know how his skills are going to translate.
Yeah, so the way I see it is that the Yankees would probably get like a win to a win and a half from Headley. About.
Yeah.
So if you're giving that up in prospects, I mean, granted, you'll probably have to give a little bit more in expected value just because it's going to take longer to develop. But you have to expect, like, O'Brien is going to give you, like, at least, I think, I mean, it's not necessarily true that he'll get to the, you know, to the majors, but I think you could say, oh, maybe he'll give you a win, and he won't really cost you anything. So, and you'll get to basically get the rest of Headley's contract back, and I don't think, but the only other question is another team wanting to buy low and is willing to give a little bit more?
Yeah, I think Padres will be interested in moving him. I guess it's just a matter of how concerned are they? Would they rather absorb more cost, or would they rather absorb more, or would they rather get a better prospect? I guess.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees have the financial flexibility where they can be like, we can take on a decent portion of the contract. Like they did with Vernon Wells and Alfonso Soriano. Not that those were like huge portions, but you know.
Yeah, and what could be interesting, this could be a more complicated trade because the Yankees are probably also interested in Ian Kennedy as well as a possibility. And there could be some kind of deal where they work out where they get Headley and Kennedy for some package.
Possibly.
I mean, that's another. I mean, if they're on the table with them, there's another player they desire, and they're looking to offload. But that would definitely require a much bigger package.
Yeah, I don't think that the Yankees would pull the trigger on bringing Ian Kennedy in just because he. I mean, I know he was young back then, but he didn't really play that well, and they were kind of frustrated with him personally. And you know, he's had some off years recently. He's still probably better than Nuno, but I just don't think that they would do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, though, because he's much better than Nuno.
Yeah.
And he's having a pretty good year. I mean, everything is good. Like, his strikeouts are up, his walks are down, his home runs are down, his velocity's up. Like, everything that you want is going well.
Mm-hmm. And the Diamondbacks traded him for, like, a loogie. Good
yep.
GMing.
Well, I mean, it looked like a good trade last year because he was playing terribly last year.
I think even some people were. He was playing terribly, but I think some people were like, really? That just seemed like an awfully low price to sell him for.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they'll trade low on Kennedy after one bad year, wouldn't they be able to trade low on Headley? So. Not too long ago, Ian Kennedy was in the Cy Young discussion.
Yeah, he had those wins. Okay, well, should we move on? I guess should we just move straight on to the tweet bag then?
Yeah, I think so. We had really those two main topics. Team is bad, trades.
Yes. All right. Well, okay, so then we'll move on to the tweet bag now. And first in the tweet bag from the artist formerly known as Yankees 1-9 known as Sean Run DMC Is this team illustrating them last year's insert your choice of synonym for really bad squad? Last year we had to sit through a bunch of really bad players somehow stumble to an above 500 record. This year we're watching a lot of good to really good players underperform to now below 500 record. Well, I think he kind of explained why it's more frustrating. This seems more frustrating than last year.
It should be this year, but
I still find last year more frustrating.
It definitely was last year.
And here's
the reason why. At least on this team, there are a few players that I really like to watch. I really love watching Gardner play. I really love watching Ellsbury play. I love watching Tanaka play. It's like last year's team, it was like Kano, Kuroda.
Yeah.
That was like the whole team.
You didn't love Brennan Bosch?
I did not love Brennan Bosch. I did not like Travis Ishikawa or the whole cast of characters like Brent Lillibridge.
Yeah, I think that was just like a giant mix of hot trash.
Yeah.
And it was like you knew it was bad. You knew there was no one coming on the way. And like you kind of just accepted it, that it was going to be real. I mean, you knew it was going to be really, really bad, and you had to hunker down. At least this year, there's like a hope. Like, oh, some guys could regress, or they'll trade for somebody, or injuries will come back, and like things will get better. Last year, I did not feel that way at all.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, Lo. That's why I would say it's more frustrating to watch this team, because they can do better. This team, it was annoying to watch. They're terrible, but I wouldn't say frustrating. It was just like, you are terrible, and I don't like looking at you. So they annoyed me.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's just they're both pretty bad in their own way.
Yeah.
But I have, like, more hope for this team. I have this, like, dream. There's this dream I keep having where, like, everybody starts hitting, and CC and Pineda come back, and this whole everything, you know, I have this dream. And I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but at least it's possible that could happen. Where last year it was like, Travis Ishikawa is not going to play, period.
But the Travis Ishikawa era.
I feel like editing the Wikipedia page on Facebook and just like making a separate era for Travis Ishikawa.
Retire his number.
The Ishikawa year, soda.
I mean, they could put him in Monument Park. It's not like anyone would see him.
Yeah, Dino Martinez can be in there, you know. Get one for Travis Ishikawa.
Get a plat for funniest Yankee stint.
Yeah. Or just put him over Steinbrenner face.
I'd be fine with that.
You know what would be awesome? If somebody got a Yankee baseball signed by all the players who only played for like one team in 2013.
It's just like, oh my god.
They just had a base. It's a baseball signed by like Luis Cruz, Chris Nelson, Lillibridge, Ishikawa, like all these players who like were playing for like a day.
Jim Miller, Chris Buchek.
That'd be awesome.
Yep. The thing is, one of the names will be like Steve Johnson. You'd be like, did he play for us? I guess he did.
Yeah. I'd be like, huh. Well, I guess. I certainly don't want to mute it. All right.
Yep.
So the next question from Jackhole91. Why are Ellsbury's defensive metrics so bad this year?
I think it's just small sample. I think that would be the best explanation. Like, 1 year, or especially 80-game samples of defensive data is not really reliable.
Right.
And I think the other possibility is that he's playing in the same outfield as Brett Gardner, so it's not like he has to deal with much to his right.
Yeah.
So you could say that he's like his range is kind of diminished.
Right, and last playing alongside because, like Johnny Gomes and I mean Shane Victorino is all right, but he's not like what he once was. So there's a lot more range for him to cover then than there was now.
And especially with Ichiro getting more playing time, it's like you've got Ichiro to your left, you've got Gardner to your right. It's like I'm just going to stay still.
Right.
Yep.
So I would say that's the best. I don't know if that's the most scientific explanation, but I think it's the best one that I can think of. But I would think that it would be best to look at the entire outfield together.
Right.
As a unit, because I think that would be more telling than just one player.
Yeah. Okay, so next, PR2B1. What reasonable excuse can you make up or not, can you make not calling up Ref Snyder and Perella? I think the only excuse I'm up with, maybe they just really feel that they want to develop Ref Snyder's defense more at second base, and that they think Brian Roberts is faking it enough out there that they don't need to rush it. And Perella, I can get a little bit more because he apparently he's just a complete butcher defensively. That's why they moved. I mean, it's one of the reasons why they moved him out of the infield to the outfield. And it seems like they're trying to get him to learn right field. So maybe eventually he could come up. But again, maybe they just want more defensive time for them.
And Perella's not that good offensively.
Right, that's true.
I mean, people can tell he's hitting so well. I mean, the guy's got like a 5% walk rate, and he doesn't hit for any power. So basically, if he's not hitting over 300, he's not hitting. And I can guarantee you he's not going to hit 300 in Major League Baseball. So he's really not going to be that good of a hitter.
Yeah.
He's going to be maybe average. So you're talking about a player who's got maybe average offensive ability and like really, really bad defensively. So that doesn't inspire that much confidence.
Right. And he's not like a prospector. It's not anything that's like demanding, like, oh, got this hot shot, Jose Perella.
It's not like Gregory Polanco knocking on the door. It's like he's hitting 20% above league average in AAA. Like, I feel like that's kind of the borderline.
Mm. Do you have anything of any excuses, Matta?
Brian Roberts made good brownies.
Yeah.
I'd also like to note how quickly Dean Anna disappeared into oblivion.
Yeah.
He's currently hitting 194, 288, 298 in AAA. He's having a horrendous year.
Yeah, that's too bad because he was up briefly. He didn't seem atrocious, but, you know, obviously not good.
Yeah, he only played 12 games.
Yeah. Always have that one game on the mound.
Yep, never forget.
Yep, and that one game where he walked and scored the winning
yeah,
run.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That was this true Yankee moment. Yeah.
Exactly.
Home run against the Red Sox.
Oh, I eagerly await the Yankees Classic Cup for the Dean Anna game.
It'll be on at 3 in the morning. There's either the choice of watching infomercials about the magic bullet or Dean Anna walking and... walking in the winning run.
All right. The next question from Yankee Raven. Should the Yankees call up Rob Refsnyder now or wait a little bit more, not for long? I think consensus is they should just call him up now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
All right, that's our analysis on that question. Now, another question from Sean Run DMC. 3 superlatives that describe how awesome Tanaka has been. I think each of us can come up with one.
Spectacular.
Beautiful.
Did he say something, Matt F? Sorry. We'll get the magnificent. Yep. All right. So, yes. Beautiful, spectacular, magnificent. You said spectacular, right, Matt F? I didn't just make that up. Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right. Next question from longtime listener. What's best to drink when watching the offense? Hard liquor dulls the pain quicker, but if you don't pass out quickly, you're in for a terrible hangover. Beer might lessen the hangover, but then you're awake long enough to see Solarte make an easy out for the fourth time. I think you might want to stick to just pure green alcohol. Just get it over with.
Forget. Yeah. Just forget.
Unless Tanaka's pitching. Then you'll want, like, a fine mixed drink that you can sip and be like, yes. But then you'll want to make sure that you have, like, something really hard nearby for when the Yankees offense comes to bat, because you don't want to see that.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Next question from Greg Kirkland. Which of the Yankees brass would you love to have on the podcast to give a stern talking down to?
Levine.
Listen.
One so we could yell at him about the baseball side of it, and another to yell at him about his sideburns.
And for his text talk.
Yeah, and he would respond, "What are you saying?"
You are the best. I have told you that for years.
We believe in you.
Don't listen to the haters.
I would love to have Hank Steinbrenner on. Just, I feel like he'd be fascinating.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of in the shadow. I feel like you don't really hear much from him, which I guess is not that bad.
Well, yeah, they began muzzling him when he was like talking too much, and then when he gave A-Rod the 10-year contract.
Well, yeah.
There's that.
That'll do. That'll do it.
How's that working out for you guys? Next question. From L. Cruiser 55. Out of the international amateur free agents, which of them has your favorite name, and can you think of a John Sterling call for them?
I was a big fan of Greg's call that he came out for Dermis Garcia.
Oh, yes.
Epic Dermis.
Yeah, that is totally something that Sterling would do, too. No, you know what one Sterling would have fun with? Jonathan Amundere, because he turned into some, like he did with Solarte, where he turned that into, that's Amore or something like that.
Amundere. Yeah.
He'd find some Broadway song to channel that.
I assume Juan de Leon would be like De Leon Roars or something.
Definitely. And, I think everyone would have fun with Miguel Flames, too. Even if it's pronounced Flames.
Up in Flames.
Oh, yes. He set the pitcher up in Flames. Immolation! Immigulation.
Nelson Gomez is also an easy one.
Yeah.
Anything with go in it.
or Wilkerman Garcia. I feel like he could do something with the Wicker Man. And then the Wilker Man gets one. Oh god, not the bees. Wilkerman Garcia, who incidentally was born on opening day 1998.
Ooh.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yay.
He's a jerk, but hopefully he'll be awesome one day. We were talking while we were having internet problems about how in a few years, hopefully, the Yankees are just going to have a really good farm system, but in the meantime, they're just going to have like the equivalent of the first round of a draft playing against everyone else in the Gulf Coast League, or Dominican Summer League, one of them.
Well, I just read that, I think it was Josh Norris was saying that there's a possibility the Yankees will have to have three Gulf Coast League teams.
Just cause.
Because there are just going to be so many good players and so many of them that they're just going to have to make multiple teams for them.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
But we're looking forward to see what this crop of rookies can do. Seems like they invested a ton of money in them. So.
Yep.
If they put all that money into all those lottery picks, so hopefully one of them will hit big.
So I just read that Kylie McDaniel said the Yankees signed 21 players today for about $12 million, and that will also include a few more in the coming weeks, which includes one for $3 million.
Hmm.
So that means they're going to have a ton of prospects, and so far they have spent, let me see how much it is, they've spent in total $18.5 million. That includes $11.7 million in bonuses and $9.5 million in penalties.
Hmm.
But that means they get 21 players for that.
Yeah, well, hopefully some of them pan out.
Yep.
Alright, and last question. Why, oh why, are the Yankees so awful? Bonus question. Can you think of a better way to describe them? That was from the last 42. And they are awful because they hate you and they hate me. Personally. Yep. No, they're so awful because of the two whole claws. that wily Derek Jeter forcing them to bat in second. And I think one word would be putrid would be a good way to describe them right now.
That's a good one.
Yep.
They're just bad.
Yeah, just bad.
The struggle is real. It's oh so real. Okay, so that'll do it for the tweet bag. We don't have a game this week since we thought the tweet bag was big enough this week to cover the extra time. So we'll move straight on to the Yankee and the Mitre of the week. Matt F., your Yankee of the week.
I'm going with Brett Gardner.
Yeah, he's one of the few hot Yankees right now.
Yeah, he's like the one.
He tried to win the game himself today. So valiantly.
Fortunately, he couldn't do that.
Yeah. Nope.
But it's not his fault.
Yeah, and I love that he has 8 home runs already, too. And I posted a tweet about this earlier, but he has more homers than, like, Matt Holliday, Joey Votto, Robinson Cano, Shinsu Chu, all these guys that should have more home runs than him.
And this is coming from the player who, like, nobody wanted to extend him, and, like, he's just a poor man's Jacoby Ellsbury.
Trade him for Brandon Phillips.
Meanwhile, he's putting up, let's see, he has 2.5 wins so far this year, and Brandon Phillips is at a grand total of .9.
Yeah, .9, something like that.
So, yay.
Yep. And he's owed, like, $40 million through 2017, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll take Brett Gardner. All right, Matt P., your Yankee of the week.
I'm going to go with the easy one and go with Tanaka, even though he lost 2 games, but because he didn't have the will to win.
God, yeah, you should make him Mitre of the week, obviously.
Yeah, 2 losses.
But what would Jack Morris think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was I picked the idiot, Masahiro Tanaka. Mike Napoli calling him the idiot after throwing a fastball and him hitting it out of the park for a cheapy Yankee home run, which would have been a home run in no other stadium other than Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
And he's claiming how great of a thing that was, but in fact, it really wasn't that bad of an idea because he threw a splitter to him every single time.
But apparently, like...
In a 2-strike.
I mean, I think throwing a splitter probably would... Knowing Tanaka's splitter probably would have worked well. Not that that is what McCann called, but still.
I mean, I think the best way it was described was that it's just basic game theory. You can't throw a splitter every single time or else then people are just going to always lay off.
Maybe.
So if the scouting report is, you know, splitter, like stay off the splitter, if he throws anything low, they're going to try to lay off. And this is, what is this, the second or third time the Red Sox have already seen him?
Yeah, but Napoli has had problems laying off the splitter before.
Yeah, definitely. So, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's a stupid decision. And like I said, it's not like that would have been out of the park in any other
right.
part. So it wasn't hit incredibly hard. So, but I give props to him for throwing a complete game.
Oh, yeah. Saved the bullpen. Just like Rota did the other day.
Yep, only 1 walk. And then he pitched against Baltimore last week and had 7 innings, 3 runs, which wasn't great. But, yeah, he's great, and he's always great.
Yep.
So,
my Yankee of the week is going to be Derek Jeter. He's actually been pretty hot over the last week, and surprisingly
yeah.
so. So I'm glad that he's showing signs of life at the bat because, you know, that's what he brings to the table at this point. He's not going to do anything on defense. He's in the lineup. Well, he's in the lineup because of Derek Jeter, but there's still reasonable hope that he can at least be as good as he was, maybe not in 2012, but like in 2011 or 2010 when he was still like roughly league average for shortstop with a bat-wise, but... So I think if he can at least get some hot streak in there, he can make his numbers a little bit more respectable, albeit with no power. But
yeah, so that's really the only difference between him from today and him in 2010. Because in 2010 he had 10 home runs. This year he only has 2.
And I think he had a bunch of doubles.
They're pretty similar batting.
But he doesn't have as many doubles
yeah,
now either.
Yeah, but my question to you would be, do you think that he's going to positively regress towards league average, or do you think this is the highest he's going to get?
I think he'll do a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit, but not much.
I have, for as much as that, it's easy to, like, knock Jeter, I still have faith that he'll turn it around and at least be somewhat respectable in his last season.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if Yes would stop being like, oh, well, he's fine. He's hitting 270. It's like, there's so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the line that we heard on TV today. It was like, oh, he's Derek Jeter. He's hitting 275. It's like, well.
I would also give an honorary Yankee of the Week to Jacoby Ellsbury because he's also been hitting well over the past week. The lineup has basically been like Jeter, Ellsbury, Gardner, and sometimes Teixeira hit stingers, but everyone else has been quiet. That brings us to our Mitres of the Week. Matt F., your Mitre of the Week.
Well, something I forgot to mention during my Yankee of the Week is that Gardner's isolated power in the last week was 318.
Hmm. There you go.
But my Mitre of the Week is Andrew Vasilarte.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Whose isolated power is zero.
Yeah, he hasn't had an extra base hit since, like, mid-June, so...
Yeah.
We missed the fun, Yan Hervis, unfortunately. He is gone, so this guy needs to go to AAA.
Yep.
Alright, Matt P., your Mitre of the Week.
My Mitre of the Week is Vidal Nuno.
Yep.
Because I would like to note, these are the following players that have the same WAR total as Vidal Nuno: Chris LaRue, Dean Anna, David Huff, and Shane Green and Wade LeBlanc.
And all those guys like barely pitched any innings, so they have like small sample size going on there. But yeah. But Nuno's been bad enough to maintain that negative replacement level.
That's correct. Preston Claiborne has more value than Vidal Nuno.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Good for you. My Mitre of the Week. I'm not going to give a Mitre of the Week to Brian Roberts only because he had that ninth inning home run, but otherwise I would.
Yeah.
Because I think that was like his only hit in the past week, but at least it was an important one. Though in the end, it did make us stay up a little bit later than we wanted just to watch the Yankees fail some more. So,
yep.
I'll go ahead and give it to Brian McCann because he's just dreadful to watch at the plate these days. I mean, he did hit the home run today, and that was good. I mean, granted, it was a Yankee Stadium special, but you know that's one of the reasons they brought him in, to hit Yankee Stadium specials. But other than that, he's just looked lost at the plate, and they really need him to get his bat going because for as much as he brings to the table the pitch framing, that's not the only reason why he's here. They brought him in because he's a guy who can hit 20 to 25 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if it was just going to be this level of hitting, they could have just signed Russell Martin.
Right, that too.
I mean, because essentially, when he's not hitting, he's like the same type of value as Russell Martin.
Right.
He's supposed to be Russell Martin plus.
Instead, he's just Russell Martin.
Yeah.
He's just American and not French-Canadian. I think that'll do it for the Pinstripe Valley podcast, unless either of you guys have anything more.
We were talking about this before the show, but as bad as the Yankees are playing, they're still not as bad as the 96 Tigers, who on May 3rd and May 4th, and those two games combined, had one run, two hits, and no walks.
A two-hitter over 18 innings.
Fun fact, the starting catcher in that second game...
Brad Ausmus?
Nope. John Flaherty.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Flash. You terrible. Well, at least the Yankees are hitting a little bit better than that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else, Matt P?
Nope.
Right. So you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. You can follow the GIFs account at PSA_GIFs. You can follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. You can follow Matt F on Twitter at MattF15. You can follow Matt Provenzano on Twitter at... Say something.
M-Pro 6294.
Thank you. I don't have my internet up, so I normally do. But so you can follow him there. You can like us on Facebook. You can rate and review us on iTunes. It's always appreciated. And you can submit to the tweet bag whenever we post the questions. And hopefully we'll have more pleasant things to talk about next week. We'll talk about the Yankees All-Stars because they'll have named at least the initial batch of the team. I think Tanaka obviously should be an All-Star. Jeter's going to be an All-Star. You know, merit aside, whatever.
Yep.
I think Dellin should be an All-Star.
Yep.
And
yeah, probably.
I think Robertson and Gardner have decent cases too, but I don't think they're going to be named All-Stars just because it's a bit crowded.
Yeah.
And I don't think Farrell would take two Yankee relievers.
Nope, I don't think he'd be happy about that, considering he has Uehara and Tozawa.
No, I think there was one year when Joe Torre took like three relievers. Because he was just a troll. I think he took like Rivera, Paul Quantrill, and Tom Gordon, or something like that. Maybe I'm making that up, but either way, we'll be able to talk about the Yankees had selected himself.
He didn't take Scott Proctor and pitch him?
No, Scott Proctor was a different year. And he wasn't managing the team that year, so otherwise he would have. Then he would have pitched in the whole game. Proctor, you're going 9, but nope, you're going 9. Okay, so it'll do it for the Pinstripe Valley podcast. Yeah, they need to... This is a terrible ending. Just like the Yankees. Stumbling to an under 500 record at the halfway mark. So, go Yankees, go baseball? Question mark?
Sort of.
Question mark, brownie face.
Hashtag Ref Snyder.
Emoji.
Hashtag Ref Snyder for NYY.
Emoji flame, emoji poop.
Emoji Miguel Flames. Oh, God. So, have a good night.